I'm going to do a little demo of Gmail and Google Calendar. And my goal here is not to teach you how to use it, but simply to get across the idea that it can be done. And that while there's a little bit of memorization involved, there are a few keystrokes you have to remember, and there are things that can go wrong. But beyond that, it actually works quite well. Both the calendar and Gmail on the website work well. I use it at work if I need to check my home email, because we're not supposed to set up our home email on Outlook at work. We're in an Exchange system, and so I do it on the web.
Should I be using Chromium or Firefox?
Chrome. It'll work with Firefox. I recommend Chrome because I've used both a lot, and I find that the only thing I ever use Firefox 4 anymore is Facebook, but I do use Google Chrome, and I always use the latest version, the latest version of JAWS. So I'm going to do Gmail first. You do have to have Google shortcuts turned on, and that's in the settings area. You have to go into Gmail, then go to settings, and you have to have shortcuts turned on. The other thing that you have to keep remembering to do, and it's a pain in the neck, but you have to do it with JAWS, is you have to turn off the virtual cursor using the JAWS key and the letter Z, as in zebra. If the cursor is on, things don't work right. So you do want to, every time you move away from that window and come back to it, you have to turn that cursor off again. So the other thing you have to be sure of is there are two modes that Gmail uses. One is called basic and the other one is called standard. Standard mode is a richer mode that is used typically by people with sight, because it depicts things in a better way. The basic mode, on the other hand, a lot of blind people use it because it shows the messages in a table form. So you can arrow down through the table and read it. I fell into the trap of using that for a long time, and I thought that's the best there is. But I discovered that the standard mode, or the rich HTML mode, is much better. So I'm in standard mode. I'm in conversation mode, which means that as I arrow up and down through my emails, it's going to read to me the subject of the conversation, and I can do a bunch of things with them. So I'm in my inbox. If I weren't in my inbox, I could use GI, which is for go to inbox, and it would take me right there. So let's say that I'd gone to a different folder for some reason and I needed to get back to the inbox. As long as I've got that virtual cursor off, I can do GI to go to inbox. Now I can arrow up and down.
Main region, address, me, John 2, FW, busy, I hope, living, worth it, here, what, Kempings, 12:49 p.m. Use virtual PC cursor on.
I just want to make sure I have that cursor off.
Use virtual PC cursor off.
Okay.
Address, next door, Watertown, found gray and white long bear cat, 12:49.
Okay, so I don't live in Watertown anymore, so what do I care? Let's say that I want to delete that message. I'm going to hit the letter X.
X, one selected.
And it selects that message, and I won't worry about it now until I've selected all the ones I want, and then I will do a shift 3, which is the number sign or the pound sign, and that will delete all the messages I've selected. If I wanted to archive those messages, which means it removes the label inbox from them and puts them into an all messages area that I could get to by doing GA for go to all messages. Archiving messages is a great thing to do in Gmail because you have almost unlimited space. And if you ever think in the next 20 years you might want to see that message again, rather than deleting it, you can archive it. I deleted that one. I'm going to arrow up and find another one.
Address,
Lori
Sharfila, leadership, looking for tactile image of human eye,
1:10 p.m. Okay, I don't think I have anything to add to that one, so I'm going to do an X on that one also.
X, who's elected?
What I'm looking for is one that I want to actually listen to.
Address, Mary, Karen 2, leadership, Congress, should steer clear of registering regulation. Address, Expedia travel deals, you've scored, we pick you to enjoy this, Expedia makes vacation dreams come true.
I'm going to X that one out.
X, please. Address, Twitter, Jonathan Moses, share Apple Watch Series 5, titanium.
Okay, this is something that came from Twitter. Let's say I want to read this message. It could be a whole conversation, but I have to do a couple of things. I have to hit the Enter key to open the conversation.
Enter. Main region. Jonathan Moses, share Apple Watch Series 5. Titanium VS stain with S dot 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 edit type of text.
Now I can hit the semicolon, which will expand all messages in the conversation.
Semicolon.
I don't always do that, but sometimes it helps. I now hit the letter N to read the next message in this conversation, which in this case is the first one.
And list box read only. Twitter info at twitter.com. Unsubscribe 1:55 p.m. 1 hour ago. Not start. Reply order. Show the mail. Reply forward. Read only. 1:1. To move to an item, press the arrow keys.
And it only read part of it because it's a long message It's got a bunch of web content and things like that. If I really want to hear the whole message in a case like this, I would turn my virtual cursor on and arrow down through the message and read it, and then turn that virtual cursor off again. But I'm not going to read this one. I want to find one that's easy enough. Most, if they're just conversational emails, you can read them without ever turning the virtual cursor on. So now that I'm in this conversation and I want to go back to my inbox, I have to hit the letter U to get back out of the conversation. So I'm now back to my list. I'm going to X this one out too. I'm going to go up to the next one.
Main region, address, KAC, pick for you, flights from both, less great hotel,
I'll get rid of that one too.
Address, mail delivery, subside, delivery,
that one too.
Important, address, ferry barrier, honey, 2:13 p.m.
I better not have you listen to this because from my twin brother, and I have no idea what it says.
Amazon.com, your Amazon.com order number 1130074.
All right, so I want to read this one. So I'm going to hit enter on the conversation.
Main region, your Amazon.com order number.
I'm going to hit the letter N.
List box read only. Amazon.com shipment tracking at Amazon.com 2:49 p.m. 20 minutes ago. Not start reply more than the show details. Amazon shipping confirmation. https://www.amazon.com /www.amazon.com
And we won't listen to the whole thing, but it's a message telling me that something I ordered is in transit.
Sure.
Yep.
You didn't need to hit the semicolon or anything on that one?
I didn't do it. I don't always do it, and it seems to sometimes help. It's not an absolute requirement. As I understand it, it actually allows it to read more of the message when you do it. But for short messages that are just a paragraph or two, I find it's not really necessary.
One thing I noticed playing around with that was when you do get in a message, unless I couldn't figure it out, you had to do a horrendous amount of down arrowing to actually get to the message, to where it started. So the thing I figured out that you could do to speed it up was get back into the virtual mode by turning the insert Z on, and there's one strategic place, maybe it's, I can't remember exactly where it was, but maybe just below the word subject or something, where you could put in a place marker.
Yep.
And then get into the message and just hit K just to get right to the message without having to hear all the gibberish up above it.
That's actually a very good idea. I used place markers extensively when I used to use the basic mode, and they saved me a lot of time. I've never tried it in standard mode. But since you've turned the cursor back on, I'm sure they would work. But what I find is usually, unless I go too fast, once I've opened a conversation and started listening to a message, if I want to go into the virtual cursor, it usually leaves me just about three lines above the message. So let me find one to try it on. I'm going to get out of this one.
Amazon.com, your Amazon.
Okay, I'll
Amazon.
Do this one.
Your Amazon.com order number 1130.
So I'm going to open it with enter. I'm
going to
hit N. I'm going to hit Control to shut it up. Now I'm going to go, I'm going to use Insert Z to turn the cursor on.
New virtual PC cursor on.
And I'm guessing I'm not going to be way up at the top, but let's see.
2:49 p.m. Not star checkbox not checked. Reply button. More button method clickable. Show details button. Amazon shipping on link HTTP plan. Hi, Jerry, your package will arrive.
So there it is. I had to go down a few lines, but not all that many. So let me try putting a place marker in here just for the heck of it.
Show details button menu.
I'm not sure where subject is.
More button to be clickable. Show details.
I'll put it where it says to me.
Well, yeah, well, I can't remember. It wasn't necessarily there, but there was one strategic place you could
show
put
details
it.
Button menu.
Maybe the show details?
You can't remember.
Yeah, I'll try it there. So how do we do a place marker? So let's see. I think it's Shift-Control-K?
Control Windows K to make a temporary one first.
HTTPS, show details button menu.
Is that a JAWS thing?
All right, it is. So it's Control Windows K?
Yeah.
Okay.
Temporary place marker set, show details button menu.
And now you have to do Control Shift K to make that temporary thing permanent.
Place marker list view, not selected temporary document, 1:1. To move the items, use the arrow keys. Place marker list dialog. Add dot button to activate, press spacebar, Alt plus A.
Okay.
Space, John's home use, show details, place marker list dialog, add place marker dialog, name, edit, show details, type of text, Alt plus
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Define for all pages on current domain, checkbox not checked.
I'm going to say yes.
Spacebar that.
Space checked. Anchor the text, checkbox not checked. Check
I'm going to say yes to that.
Space checked. Anchor text, edit, show details, type of text. Okay, button
and
to
I'm
activate,
save
space
it.
Bar, space.
Okay, the next time I want to read one, I'll try that and we'll see what happens. So I'm going to now, I got to turn my cursor back off.
Use virtual PC cursor off.
I'm going to hit U to get back to my list of messages.
New Amazon.com, your Amazon.com order number.
I'm going to arrow down and find another message.
Main region, important, unread, Terry Barrier, honey.
No.
Selected, unread, mail deliveries outside, deliveries. Selected, unread, kayak, pick for you, flights from.
Okay, we'll try kayak. So I'm going to go into the message.
Enter. Pick for you, flights from both.
I'm going to hit N.
And list box read only, kayak, music.
I'm shutting it up. Now I'm going to turn my cursor on.
Use virtual PC.
And I'm going to hit K.
Show details button menu table with nine email slash any graphic. Click unlabeled graphic link graphic code plan link flights.
And there it is. So it works perfectly. So that's a great idea. I like that. All right. So I'm going to now get out of this. I'm going to turn my cursor off.
Use virtual PC cursor off.
Hit the letter U.
New selected KAG pick for you flights from those.
Now I got a bunch of messages here that I have been selecting. So let me do a pound sign.
Number. Six conversations moved to trash. A new link. Six conversations moved to trash. A new.
So they're gone. Two interesting things about Gmail that I want to tell you about. One is searching. I find that the search which works much better here if I want to find all messages related to a certain thing. It works much better than it does in Outlook. I find Outlook sometimes searches well, sometimes not so well. If I want to search for something, all I do is hit a slash.
Slash, banner region, search region, search mail, edit task, pop-up, search mail, type of text.
And I'm going to type the word honey, and I'm going to arrow down.
Honey, search for honey. Search for honey raw.
There was a message about raw honey earlier today from my brother.
Open mail, honey, subject, 3, honey, heck no, did you? I found some from Australia and New Zealand, that's like $1.98 for an.
That's another message from my brother.
Open mail, honey, on 29.
There's another one.
Open mail, honey, bought some Australian honey at Walmart, commanders.
Another one.
Open mail, honey, subject, 3, this icon says, Laura, those are Brazilian pepper, citrus. Open mail, good morning, honey, 10/7.
There's one, good morning, honey. I better stop while I'm ahead. So now that I'm finished with that, I believe that has opened up a new window. So I think if I hit a Control F4, I won't lose my inbox. It'll take me back to where I was.
Inbox 20, Jerry's not very
early. Oh, it did. Okay, so that's something you can do. It works really well. Another thing about Gmail, it doesn't move things to different folders. It simply creates labels, and it adds those labels to the emails so that they can be organized by label. So you might have a label called trash. You might have another label called Vibug, and you can do a G for go and an L for label, and then you can type in part of a label and it'll take you right to it. You can hit enter on it and then start arrowing down through all the messages with that label. If I archive something, it simply removes whatever label was attached to that message and puts it back into sort of a limbo. It's an all messages area. So that's a little bit about Gmail. I know that it takes some time to remember all those little instructions, and it can be really downright a nuisance to have to keep turning off the virtual cursor. I think NVDA now has a feature where once you set it in that mode, and I don't recall exactly how you do that, but once you do it, it stays in that mode. You can set the virtual cursor to be off for everything, but if you do, Gmail will work great and nothing else will work at all. So there are a couple of things you have to do, as I said, to prepare for it. You have to turn shortcuts on. There's one other command you have to do once, and it's supposed to stay once you've done it. That's a Control Alt Z, which turns on the JAWS.
Alt Control Z.
I believe it's called the accessibility feature. And it didn't say anything because I already have that turned on. But if you're trying it and it's not working, you may find that one of those things has not been done. You can also get a list of shortcuts. It's a little bit cumbersome to find your way to the actual list, but you start out with a control slash, and it will bring up the list of shortcuts, and it's extensive. There are lots of them, and I don't know them all yet, and I sometimes forget them. But you can do lots of things with them. I truly have gotten to the point where I can be comfortable using Gmail without going into Outlook. If I want to open an attachment in an email, once I've hit the letter N, and by the way, if you're in a conversation, P is previous message, N is next message. So once I'm on the one I want, and I hear that there's an attachment in it, I can start tabbing. And eventually I'll get to the attachment and I can hit enter on it and it will open it. I don't know for sure how you save an attachment. I think you might be able to hit the applications key when you're on it and then select that.
Probably select save as.
Yeah.
Bring up a save file as, yeah. Or something, yeah.
So There's not a whole lot that you can't do in this mode, and it's much better than I ever dreamed it was even 6 months ago. I've known that blind people use it, and I always thought it's not for me because it's just way too cumbersome.
I was always a basic HTML.
Yep. But I'm to the point now where I'm very comfortable with this.
I think more and more work sites are sort of requiring people to use, you know, Google Mail and various Google apps and so on. So
that's the
which
case
may or may not be a good thing. But,
yeah, Perkins is a Google
agency,
Google.
And they do still permit blind people to use Outlook if they want to, but they are a Google agency, and there are lots of reasons why companies go to Google. One of the biggest is that they have huge amounts of data space that is free of charge or at a minimal cost. There is a charge for having a corporate Google system set up, but it gives you virtually unlimited data space.
How did you get into so that you
Google
could show
Mail.
Us this?
Oh, no, I went on the web and I did a control L for open and I typed mail.google.com.
Either way, yeah.
Yeah.
Gmail.com works too.
Yep. So that's how I got into it. And you can tell Chrome to remember that page. At work, when I opened the page Google Chrome, at one point I had it opening 7 different windows at the same time. They're actually tabs, but they're, I think.
You always have it be your start page in Chrome.
Yeah. I have at work, when I go into Google Chrome, it opens my calendar, it opens our intranet, it opens my home Gmail, my work Gmail, a Gmail account that I have for lists only, and the Twitter app that I showed in here once, the one called Easy Chirp.
So what's the Control-O for?
You know how Internet Explorer you use Control-O? Everything else uses Control-L. So whether it's Firefox or... You can, yeah. So at home, I have a desktop shortcut called Mail, and it just opens my 3 email accounts.
I think you mentioned before the basic HTML.
Yes.
Is that what you always use, right?
No.
No?
That's what I used to use. Basic is the one that shows it in a tabular form, but it doesn't give you any of these shortcuts that work so well. They're just not available in that mode. So you want to use the standard mode.
And then when you're in the standard, which you are by default, but then how do you get to the shortcuts?
You mean to see a list of them or?
Yeah.
To see a list of them, you would use a Control/ to bring up the shortcuts list. And I recommend once you find your way to them, maybe save them somewhere because it doesn't just bring up a really clear list of them. They're divided into subheadings and they're there, but they're not all that easy to read. I'm in my email right now. I'm going to do a Control-L.
Control-L, address and search bar edit, https://mail.google.com.
And I'm going to type
blank.
Calendar
C.
dot
Calendar, period.
Google.
Google.
Com, dot com.
Com, enter, mail.google.com/mail/u/0/number/inbox/mmcvxwdrh.
You have to be signed in for these things to work. You have to have a Google account and be signed into it. And if you're not, it will prompt you for your username and password. So now I'm going to turn the cursor off.
Use virtual PC cursor off.
I have to do one more thing to make the calendar really usable, and that is I have to hit the number 5 up on the numbers row, which is schedule mode. And of course, it didn't work. Once in a while, when I turn the cursor off, it doesn't happen the first time, so...
Use virtual PC cursor off. Escape to main region. Print read only. Column 2, row 12. Zone
okay.
7 and 9.
All right, so...
Use virtual PC cursor on. Table, column 3, row 13. Use virtual PC cursor off.
Okay, I got it going now. I'm going to hit the 5 just to make sure I'm in schedule mode.
5. Google Calendar schedule starting Saturday, September 14, 2019. Main region. Print read only. Saturday.
Now, I can arrow down through each day that has events on it. It'll skip the day if there are no events on it. If there are events, each event is in one row. So today we've got
Sleepers A wake 7:30 and -8:30 a.m. button.
That's a meeting I do in the mornings.
Column 201, limit 1 and -4 p.m. button to activate.
But all I did was arrow down. I didn't hit any column or anything like that. So let me arrow back up and down.
Sleepers A wake, column 201, limit 1 and -4 p.m. button to activate. Press spacebar.
Okay, so that's Vibug.
Thursday, September 19th, link.
Then it goes all the way to the 19th because I don't have anything on my home calendar until that day. I'm going to go back up to Vibug.
Column 201, limit 1 and -4 p.m. button.
And I'm going to tab.
Thursday, September 19th, link.
Whoops, what happened?
Sorry, you have your virtual insert Z on or off now?
Column 201.
It should be on.
Use virtual PC
sorry, it should be off.
Use virtual PC cursor off.
It is off. So I'm going to go back to Vibug.
Column 201. Limit 1 and -4 p.m.
I made a mistake when I said I was going to tab. I'm going to hit enter on it, which opens the event.
Enter. Limit dialog. Close button to activate.
Now, I can tab and edit it. I'll go to edit, and I'll edit the event.
Edit event button to activate. Press space.
Or
delete event button to
I can delete it.
Email guest button to activate. Press space.
I can email guests that are included on this.
Options button menu. Press space to activate the menu. Close button to activate. Press
and I can close it. So I'm just going to escape to close it.
Escape main region. Grid read only. Column 01. Limit 1 and dash 4.
I'm going to create a new event. So I'm going to hit C for create.
C, title edit, type of text.
I'm going to type the title. We'll call it test event.
Test. Event. Main region. Save button to activate. Press space.
For some reason, if I tab once, it wants to save it, and I'm nowhere near ready to save it yet. So I'm going to tab.
Start date edit. Step 14. 2019.
Gives me a start date. I can either take the default, which I'll do, or I could type in a date.
Start time edit. Misspelled. 3:30 p.m. Type of text.
Start time, I'm going to say 3:45
p.m. 5 p.m. End time edit. Start time edit. Misspelled. 3:45 p.m. Type of text.
All I had to do is type 3:45 p.m. and it changed it to 3:45 p.m. I'm going to tab again.
It assumes that you're typing right over.
Yes.
Yeah.
End time edit. Misspelled. 4:45 p.m. Type of text.
And it would do that in both fields?
Yeah. Yes.
Can you also, in either the time or date field, up arrow and down arrow to change times and dates?
Let's see.
5:15 p.m.
No, you can't. I don't think you can do it on the date either. Let me check. No, that doesn't seem to work. So I'm going to tab.
End time edit misspelled 5:15. End date edit step 14. 20. Time zone button to activate. Press space.
I can change the time zone, which I never do.
All day checkbox not checked. Check press space bar.
All day. If I check that, it removes the times and just shows it as an all day event.
Recurrence list box collapsed.
Recurrence. You can set it to not recur, which is the default. Or you can change to all kinds of different recurring options, once a week, once a month, every 2 weeks on Saturday, once a year, I think, all kinds of different options.
When you start in your calendar and schedule view without anything, did you just get holidays? And I'm looking at mine and I see holidays and things like daylight saving time.
I only got those when I didn't have the virtual cursor turned off, because they're there, but it doesn't read them to me.
Buttons. Yeah.
Yeah, visually it's very different from what we're hearing here.
Guest tab selected. One.
So now guests, if I tab one more time,
tab panel, guest edit combo expanded, the set of value used.
I can now add guests. I'll just try adding myself. So I typed in it auto-completed it. I could arrow down and see if there are any other instances of me.
Jerry.barrier@perkins.org 204.
And that one's actually got a mistake in it because I wrote Perkins.orf one time. So I'll arrow back up.
Jerry.barrier@perkins.org 104.
In order to select myself, all I do is hit enter on it.
Enter. Guest edit combo collapsed. The center value.
Now I can keep doing that over and over until I've added all the guests I want. Then I tab again.
Guest invited to this event. Renew. Jerry Barrier organizer. 1 of 2. The move through or expand by Jerry Barrier.
And it's showing that there are two of me, the organizer and the participant.
Jerry Barrier,
I'm going to tab again.
Mark Jerry Barrier as optional button to activate.
I could make one of me as optional if I wanted to, and which is really nice because if you're doing this in a work environment, you may want people that are absolutely needed at the meeting, and you may want a courtesy invitation to other people. So that works.
Remove Jerry Barrier from guest list button to activate.
And we'll remove people.
Suggested times button menu. Press space to activate.
The suggested times menu. If I'm at work and I have added 8 or 10 people to a message like this, a calendar invite, I can hit suggested times. It will look at all their calendars and only show me times when all those people are free. It can get confusing because sometimes those times might be 9:30 in the evening or something. And maybe that's not, you know, I think there's a way to set working hours, but I haven't fooled around with that. Yeah. You can give guests the ability to modify the event and do make other changes to it or not.
Let guests invite others to the event checkbox checked.
You can let other guests, let them invite other people or uncheck that if you don't want them to.
Let guests see the event guest list not checkbox checked.
There are lots of things you can do. I'm just tabbing right through here.
Tab, event details tab selected, 1 of 2.
And here's event details.
Tab panel, location edit combo collapsed.
You can add a location in there.
Collapsed, add conferencing button menu, rest space to activate.
You can add conferencing. You can even, if you have Zoom installed on your computer, you can make this a Zoom meeting.
Notifications list box read only, 10 minutes before read only, notification.
Notification times.
Minutes in advance for notification, unit of time selection list, remove notification button, add notification button, calendar color, event color, show as list box collapsed, busy, visibility list box collapsed, to learn more about event privacy. Rich text control, description edit, type of text.
At any point, if I feel like I've had enough and I don't need to make any other changes, all I do is hit Control S to save it.
Control S, would you like to send invitation emails to Google Calendar desk dialog? Send button to activate risk.
And it asks if I want to send emails to the invitees, which I'm going to say no to.
Learn more link. Dismiss button to activate risk space bar.
I'm just going to dismiss it.
Enter main region, tab panel, description edit, type of text.
Okay.
Side panel complement.
I think that took care of it. Now I have to turn my cursor off again.
New virtual PC cursor on.
Oh, no, I didn't.
New virtual PC cursor off. Tasks tab, 2 of 3. The switch page escape. Google Calendar event details. Escape. Discard unsaved changes. Dialog. Discard.
So I'm just escaping out of it. So I'm going to discard the
space.
Changes.
Google Calendar schedule starting Saturday.
Okay, so I'm back to my list now. So that's a little bit about how the calendar works. I find that the calendar has really increased my productivity. It's put me more on an even keel with other employees because people at Perkins use the Google Calendar a lot. It's another one of those things that I never dreamed I could use, and I thought if I could, it was going to be really cumbersome. Not so much, not anymore. And it's really gotten better and better over the last couple of years. I have Outlook at work. I never use my Outlook calendar anymore, never. It's just not worth bothering with to me because I find Google so much more useful. So thank you very much for that, and